Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1983 with a release date of Friday, October 30th, 2015 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams in India prepare to aid Afghan earthquake victims. A look at Hams' response to Mexico's Hurricane Patricia. The Fox 1A transponder is back, and Puerto Rico may ask for a DXers Island paradise to be returned. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1983 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's only independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Amateur radio operators in India are preparing to step in quickly to provide help across the ravaged landscape in northeastern Afghanistan, which suffered a deadly 7.5 magnitude earthquake Monday, October 26th. The tremors were so strong, in fact, they rumbled across Pakistan and North India as well. The team of experienced rescue operators from the West Bengal Radio Club is the same group to provide critical support during operations after last spring's quake in Nepal. Ambarish Nag Biswas, the West Bengals club secretary, tells one newspaper in India, quote, "Communication is key to running rescue operations, but in such cases, cell phone networks and services collapse. Our job is to set up a parallel network," end quote. As of Wednesday, October 28th, the amateurs were awaiting the official okay from the Indian government before departing for Kabul. Amateur communications also played a paramount role in the Americas when the most powerful storm ever to hit the Western Hemisphere struck the Pacific coast of Mexico a week ago. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Amateur radio frequencies are back to normal, although it will take a while to recover from the flooding, downed trees, and other damage Hurricane Patricia inflicted last week in western Mexico. Hams, however, did their part. Mexico's Amateur Radio Association, FMRE, reported on Monday, October 26th, that the nation's emergency net frequencies, including 7.060 megahertz, were finally clear of traffic that responded to the weekend's Category 5 hurricane. The National Hurricane Center considered the storm the strongest tropical cyclone ever recorded in the Western Hemisphere. Mexico's national emergency net was activated as Patricia approached land, and winds ripped through the country at close to 200 miles an hour. Emergency coordinators were at the ready, as were those in the southwestern United States. The hurricane coincided with an already intense time on the HF bands as the CQ Worldwide SSB DX contest was getting underway. That prompted a plea from the International Amateur Radio Union on Friday, October 23rd, for hams to keep the emergency frequency open and prepare as well to clear additional frequencies on both 40 and 80 meters if needed. The State of Guanajuato Amateur Radio Association used social media, announcing on its Facebook page where frequencies needed to be cleared on 80, 40, and 20 meters. The National Hurricane Center in Miami had called the storm potentially catastrophic. It was finally downgraded on Saturday, October 24th. By Monday, October 26th, storm-induced downpours had begun drenching much of the Gulf Coast region and the South as the now weakened weather system made its way east. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW, reporting.
Speaking of things returning to normal, the Fox 1A AO85 transponder is back in business. Launched October 8th, it proved to be popular immediately with radio amateurs who made ample use of its transponder until it was taken out of service for a period of testing and evaluations October 19th. Well, it's back as of Friday, October 23rd. AMSAT Vice President for Engineering Jerry Buxton, N0JY, reports that version 1.01 of the Fox Telem telemetry software is also available as a patch release. The patch and the full Fox Telem program are available in Windows, Mac, and Linux versions. Downloads of the software are available at www.amsat.org. Meanwhile, AMSAT's Cerex reflector will be closed as of Sunday, November 1st, according to AMSAT Vice President for Human Spaceflight Frank Bauer, KA3HDO. Cerex functions will be folded into the AMSAT BB list. Amateurs subscribed to both Cerex and AMSAT BB need to take no action, but existing Cerex-only subscriptions will not automatically be carried over. Desecheo Island, 14 miles off the coast of Puerto Rico, has held a long-standing spot on the radio amateurs list of most wanted DX entities. Part of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's National Wildlife Refuge System, the island known to amateurs as KP5, has been a notable part of the KP1-5 project's successful DX expeditions for years. Now it seems the island is also most wanted by the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. According to a published report, Puerto Rico's House of Representatives has approved two measures requesting the island's release from United States jurisdiction. The news of the vote was reported in the October 26th edition of the Puerto Rican newspaper El Nuevo Día. Hernandez Lopez's remarks to fellow lawmakers, translated in the newspaper's online story, say in part, quote, "Our desire is to provide the additional space in the western area for sightseeing, environmental tourism that allows people to enjoy the natural attractions." The measures were approved in the House 27-21. Puerto Rico Senate will not consider the matter. As for the world's DXers, they'll be listening too. A collective of groups and individuals specializing in helping American Indians, Alaska Natives, and other tribal people through disasters and emergencies is meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The focus will be sharing tools, techniques, and tactics to help respond to and manage a crisis. The organization is called the Tribal Assistance Coordination Group, and while the A in its name stands for assistance, on Thursday, November 5th, it will also stand for amateur radio. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mike Askins, KE5CXP, has more.
It takes more than 45 minutes to explain why amateur radio is such a critical tool when disaster strikes and communication networks are down. But Lloyd Colston, KC5FM, the ARRL's Oklahoma section manager, is more than up to the task. His 45-minute talk at the National Tribal Assistance Coordination Group workshop in Tulsa will cover all the essentials. Colston, who is also vice president of the Virtual Emergency Management Association, as well as the emergency management director for the city of Altus, Oklahoma, will explain how the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, the Military Auxiliary Radio Service, and Skywarn can assist tribes when disasters strike, and he will even touch on social media and its complementary role. Amateur radio will share the spotlight at the wide-ranging conference with other emergency responders, including the Red Cross, FEMA, FirstNet, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Oklahoma Intertribal Emergency Management Council. Steve Sid Caesar, NH7C, the chief of the Division of Emergency Management in the Bureau of Indian Affairs, told Amateur Radio Newsline that amateur radio already enjoys an established presence at these national workshops, but its role has largely been showcased through informal meetings and on-site tabletop exercises. He said that Colston's talk on Thursday, November 5th, constitutes the first official, formal amateur radio presentation at the national workshop. Caesar said, quote, "With the inclusion of amateur radio, the intention was to raise awareness of the capabilities of amateur radio, specifically with the federal, state, local, tribal, NGO, and private sector partners. We hope that the outreach to tribes will increase the number of amateur radio operators in tribal communities, making for safer and better prepared tribal communities," end quote. That's certainly making the most of 45 minutes. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP in Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Thank you, Mike. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Utah Amateur Radio Club repeater, N7HVF in Salt Lake City. Imagine a massive coronal mass ejection and an equally massive impact on the HF bands, a blackout even. It's only an exercise, but it could just as easily happen. And between November 7th and November 10th, hams will be dealing with just that disaster scenario. The Military Auxiliary Radio System will work with the Amateur Radio Emergency Service and Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service during a simulated CME event, helping radio amateurs train for a major CME and how to handle its impact on HF propagation. Army MARS Program Manager Paul English, WD8DBY, told the ARRL that the exercise scenario will simulate a CME event and focus on actions that radio amateurs should take prior to and following such an event. English said some active duty military groups will join about 50 Ares and Races affiliates for the drill, which will not only include a blackout of the radio bands, but infrastructure damage. Radio amateurs, as well as Ares and Races teams, can contact MARS if they wish to participate. Emails can be directed to mars.exercises@gmail.com. The Brookings, Oregon City Council was poised to give its expected approval of taller ham radio towers in the city's residential neighborhoods, but the definitive vote has instead been postponed. The proposed ordinance permitting towers as tall as 70 feet was high on the published agenda for lawmakers' Monday, October 26th meeting. But Joyce Heffington, city recorder, told Amateur Radio Newsline in a recent phone call, quote, "It was delayed until the council has an opportunity to review a letter we received from a legal firm," end quote. Area residents have raised objections to the ordinance allowing taller towers, citing what they call safety and aesthetic reasons. City Attorney Martha Rice has said previously in published reports in the Curry Coastal Pilot newspaper that Oregon law doesn't prohibit communications towers simply because of their appearance. The council had recently given the measure its tentative approval. Heffington said the formal vote will be placed back on the council agenda as soon as the city's attorney has had a chance to review the letter and report on it. If you speak Afrikaans, the South African Radio League would like to have a word or two with you. Actually, the league would like to have a few hundred words or more with you. There's a project underway to compile an Afrikaans dictionary for those radio amateurs who speak the language, and volunteers are needed to provide expertise and help to compile it. Anyone wanting to help put the project together should email Etienne Nada, ZS6EFN, at etienne@afrigrid.com. I'll spell that for you. etienne@afrigrid.com. Australia's National Fun Flight Day, being held Sunday, November 8th, reaches out to disadvantaged kids by giving them wings to fly. Pilots and flying clubs provide free flights and access to the planes for youngsters at the event. The Bendigo Amateur Radio and Electronics Club will also be putting kids on the air, using radios instead of airplanes. They're setting up an amateur radio station at the Bendigo Flying Club and tuning into 40 meters. Other radio clubs will be connecting with the Fun Flight station and the kids. If you'd like more information on Fun Flight, go to www.funflight.org. It's not surprising that Larry Lambert, N0LL, and Lance Collister, W7GJ, might just believe in magic. The two are the latest to qualify for the ARRL's Fred Fish Memorial Award, an honor conferred on amateurs who work and confirm all 488 Maidenhead grid squares in the 48 contiguous states, working them all on 6 meters. The award is named for the late Fred Fish, W5FF. One of Fish's accomplishments before becoming a silent key in April of 2010 was to make and confirm those 488 contacts himself. Collister and Lambert are the first since 2011 to receive this 6-meter achievement award for duplicating the noted VHF operator's efforts on the so-called magic band. In the UK, Ofcom has announced plans to auction part of the radio spectrum formerly used for ham radio. Their hope is that part of the band could be utilized by ever-growing high-speed mobile broadband services. The auction won't happen until early 2016 and includes a total of 190 megahertz of high-capacity spectrum on 2.3 and 3.4 gigahertz. In the world of DX, Sati, JE1JKL, will be working the HF bands as 9M6NA from Labuan Island between November 26th and 29th. He'll also be active in the CQWW-DXCW contest, November 28th and 29th, as a single-op all-band entry, QSL via his home call sign or logbook of the world. Gary, K9AW, will be active as J6-K9AW from St. Lucia, that's NA108, between November 24th and December 7th, and will also participate in the CQ Worldwide DX-CW contest, November 28th and 29th, QSL via K9AW, direct or by the Bureau. Bill, KH600, is celebrating 60 years as a licensed radio amateur by operating as T32DX from Kiritimati Island in East Kiribati through November 3rd. He'll be joined by his sons, Will, W0ZRJ, and John, N0PJV. They'll work all the bands from 10 meters to 40 on SSB, CW, and RTTY. Three Japanese operators are active from the island of Palau through November 5th. Their call signs are T88ZE, T88KK, and T88SH, and they'll be working all bands 160 through 6 on CW, SSB, and RTTY. And finally, happy Halloween! As spooky as the celebration can get sometimes, hundreds of hams in New York are working with state troopers to make sure this late October holiday doesn't turn into a real horror show. The hams, along with citizens band radio operators, are volunteers in a public service project known as the Pumpkin Patrol. On the evenings of Friday, October 30th and Saturday, October 31st, they'll hit the road to make sure the pumpkins don't. Dispatching hams and citizens band operators in their personal vehicles, the Patrol and Communications Network, overseen by the state police, hopes to ensure that pumpkins don't have a ghost of a chance of being tossed from any overpasses along the 570-mile-long New York State Thruway. members of the Liverpool Amateur Radio Club, the Madison Oneida Amateur Radio Club, and the Rochester Amateur Radio Association are among those providing volunteers. In fact, almost every county through New York State has had hams involved. The effort began in 1976 with a Montgomery County, New York woman who was talking on her Citizens Band radio with a truck driver as a tossed pumpkin shattered his window, injuring him. The state police have been overseeing the effort since 1990. Hopefully, the only thing smashing on Halloween evening and night will be this effort's success, which only goes to prove that when you find hams on the air, you won't find pumpkins in the air. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, CNN, El Nuevo Dia, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Mars, NYS Thruway Authority, the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, Angel Santiana Diaz, the South African Radio League, the Southgate Amateur Radio News, the Times of India, Twit TV, the Weather Channel, UpstateHam.com, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015. All rights are reserved.